Roblox's mission is to help mompreneurs worldwide do two things successfully: own profitable businesses while putting their families first. If you're a mompreneur in business already, or just contemplating if launching a business is your next step, the Managing Mompreneur Mayhem Show is made just for you. Host Sina Block is an ex-corporate success story of a self-made mom entrepreneur who started her business, SaneSpaces.com, while working part-time around her young kids' busy schedules. Known as the Mompreneur Mentor, Sina Block founded SaneSpaces.com to empower mompreneurs to leverage their talents into successful income-generating businesses in the time they wish to devote to working. Stop trying to do it all yourself. If you desire the freedom to work on your own terms, be fully present with your kids, avoid overwhelm, and make money while the kids are at school, SaneSpaces.com provides programs and the step-by-step guidance you need to make your work-at-home business a success. Struggling with a mompreneur challenge? Call in live on Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, and get personal coaching from Sina. 646-595-3163. And now, it's time for Managing Mompreneur Mayhem with your host, Sina Block.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Word of Mom Radio and the Managing Mompreneur Mayhem Show with Sina Block. This is Dori DiCarlo, and you know how much I love our Tuesday Business Spotlight. I so enjoy the show that Sina shares with us, and every other week, Janice Clark with Social Media Help Not Hype. And between these two women, they are sharing tips and tools and information that is just going to make your small business grow and just find that exponential growth that you are searching for. And today, Sina actually had to tape her show. So I'm here just introducing, and then we'll recap things and whatnot as the show goes along. Her son is getting ready to leave for college, and, you know, that's the joy of being a mompreneur and having flexible hours. So happily, she recorded a great segment for us, and I'm going to share the first part of that, and then we'll be back and talk about our sponsors and things and hear the second half of the show. So I'm really looking forward to today's
Good afternoon and welcome to Managing Mompreneur Mayhem. This is Sina Block from SaneSpaces.com, and I'm your show host every other week on this show that is dedicated to helping mompreneurs who are busy juggling the many, many tasks of being an awesome mom with running effective and profitable business. Welcome to the show today. We are going to talk about your excellent support team, and that it includes not just your business support team, but your support staff that helps you do everything you need to do effectively to manage and run your home and your family. And so I see this for mompreneurs as a special episode, because if it's one thing that most mompreneurs are not good at, that is asking for help and support from others when they need it. Some people are good at it, but many, many moms come through their superhero phase of being a mom by themselves, and they feel like they have to do it all themselves. I can tell you this, that if you approach your business with that mentality and that mindset, it's going to be very, very difficult, because there are only 24 hours in a day, and of those, how many are you really awake? And of those, how many are devoted to the care and feeding of your family, and how many are actually devoted to work? When you really start to do the math of the time and look at how much time you have available during a given day, I think it's really, really important to understand that in order for you to leverage your time and grow your business and create a profitable stream of revenue, you need to be very clear about where you spend your time, how you spend your time, and whether you're spending your time on revenue-generating activities. So when you think about your business as a business and as an investment of time and as a transaction for goods and services in exchange for money, you have to think about what you're doing and spending your time on that is creating revenue for you and creating a sustainability factor. Because it's very easy to ramp up a business and be in love with your business in the first pieces, first parts, the first stage of kind of business development. But as you're moving forward, you move through this kind of dip, this period of time where you're not as profitable as you think you should be. Sometimes you're not really focused on building the business, but you're just focused mainly on servicing clients. And without the structure and the pieces and building the building blocks in place, oftentimes you'll get to a place in your business where things are feeling very out of control and unprofitable. It's at this point, if it continues, that most entrepreneurs will either decide they're going to stay with the business, or they're going to close their doors. And I see it all the time. I see it all the time when people get themselves to a place where they're working all of their spare time. Their business is not meeting their needs. It's not matching what their ideals were when they launched their business. But a lot of it has to do with how they're set up. Not only their business model, their sales model, sometimes even their structure and how they deliver their services or their goods, but many times, as is the case with many, many entrepreneurs who are moms and who are juggling both of those very full responsibilities in, you know, at one time, they are the ones specifically that have to get help and support. And we need help in both areas of our lives. We need help not only to run our businesses for the tasks that we can delegate to other people, but we also need help with how things are going around the home. So that's the topic of the day. And I want to first begin by talking a little bit about how important I feel support is. You know, there was a time in my business when my story kind of, you know, goes like this. I launched the business and I was working really, really, really hard getting clients and serving clients and creating structures and all the things that you need to do to be successful. And I was working really long hours, really late hours. And I was letting my social life go. I was not seeing my friends as often. I was always busy or working and not able to go out. I had kind of begged off of book club. I had stopped doing my card exchange. I had stopped doing my scrapbooking weekends with my girlfriends. I had stopped doing mom's night outs. I mean, I was really, really out of it, away, working very hard on the internal pieces of my business. And I'll never forget, it was a dark October evening, and I received a call, and it was from one of my very closest friends. And she was on the other end of the phone. I said, "Where are you?" And she said, "No, the question is, where are you? It is Halloween, and I am trick-or-treating with your child, and you're not here." And I was kind of stopped in my tracks because I thought, oh, well, that's not why I went into business. I did not go into business to give up all of my time with my children, and most especially these very precious times like such things as trick-or-treating and other things that you can do when you have flexibility in your time. So if that hits a chord with you, and if that, you know, kind of communicates in that very deep emotional space, if you are working too hard in your business, I could probably put money on the fact that one of the areas that will help you move forward, leverage, and grow is to spend some of your energy and time on looking at how you can gain and garner support, both for your personal life and for your business. That said, there are three kind of golden rules that I like to talk about before we go into the nuts and bolts of the rest of the show today. But the three golden rules that you really need to think about when you're finding support for either side of the house, whether it's the house or whether it's your business. The first one is make sure that when you are looking for people to support your business, that you have communicated your purpose and that they share in the understanding of what you're all about with your business. I believe that purpose and why your business exists and why you're doing what you're doing is so very, very important. And I think that as an entrepreneur who's kind of running her own thing, it's even more important that people understand your level of commitment to the bigger picture so that they can be a part of your team. You know, I think a lot of people who stay in their careers and who go back to work, you know, in quotes, back to work, after they have a child or, you know, after a period of time, many people who are in the career mode will hire support for themselves. You'll often see people with people helping them with childcare, hopefully. I mean, you have to have put your children in the care of someone else if you're working. You'll see people with helping them clean or, you know, sometimes even bringing in meals or often food preparation, manis and pedis. You'll see a lot more people who stick with a career doing things for themselves often. And more often, more so than people who are in their own business. And I think it's really, really important to make that distinction that the part of the reason that career moms' lives are working better is that they are affording themselves these simple needs and these simple support areas. Now, they may be seen as luxury items, but there's a delicate art to running your own business. There's a delicate art to being a mom. And, you know, by golly, I think somebody's got to start talking about how important it is to take care of yourself and get the support that you need for success. You know the old adage, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, I think it takes a village to raise a child, and I also think it takes a village to raise a business. And if you create yourself a village, both in your home areas, your personal areas, as well as in your business areas, you will be much more likely to be successful in the long run. So it's important, no matter what you choose to do, that people in your circle and in your support circle are in line with your purpose. The second golden rule that I want to just talk about is deadlines. People have to share your deadlines. I remember when I went back to work after my second child was born, it was at a time in my career that things were doing very well, but I was, you know, working a lot, and I had, we had found a really great nanny, and we loved her dearly, and she would bring my child up to me so I could nurse him during lunch at work and all kinds of things, but she was very, very dedicated to my purpose and very, very dedicated to me being the best mom I could be while I worked. The one thing that we differed on, however, were the deadlines. She had some commitments after our day was done, and it was very difficult because there were times when I was at work and I couldn't leave at certain times because meetings would go long or whatever, but the deadlines that I had for my job and my career that was really paying for her services were often compromised because she had arranged a second job after hours, so she had to leave at a certain time, and those deadlines were compromise quite often. It was a very difficult time for me, and it was very difficult to balance because although I was her boss, I had made a commitment to her that I could be home, but sometimes I couldn't meet that. And so I think it's important as understanding your purpose, I think it's important for people on your support team to understand deadlines and timelines for you. And that has also to do with work hours and, you know, how you will run your business during the day or night in terms of the timing that you'll be spending working. And then the third golden rule about support is really learning how to delegate effectively. And I've been blogging about a lot of this stuff for a long time, so if you want to look at some of these ideas, please come on over to sayinspaces.com, and if you click on the blog, there's a nice search engine there. There's a search blog, and you just put in the word support, and you can read. I have several articles, probably 10 to 15 articles on just this very term itself because it's so close to my heart, and it's so much one of the biggest gaps that I see happening with my clients. So, there's this idea of delegating effectively. You know, a lot of people say, well, I can't delegate because nobody can do it like I can do it. Well, that's true. Nobody will do it like you do it. Some people will do it better. And some people will do it worse. But whoever you delegate to will do it their own way. And so that is why it's very important to understand as a golden rule, how to more effectively delegate when you can. And what I've found, I like to use the three-pronged delegation approach. And we've talked about this on other shows as well. But the delegating can be seen as kind of a three-legged stool. And, you know, without three legs on a three-legged stool, the stool will not stand up. So if you think about a three-legged stool, each leg being just about as important as the other, and each leg bearing its own weight, I want you to think about three different words that help you delegate effectively. And that first word is responsibility. The second word is accountability. And the third word is authority. And let's talk about the differences between those, because when you're giving out a delegating something to for someone else to do for you, most people resonate around the responsibility leg. They'll say, okay, here's what I need you to do, this. And you look at the person, you understand, and the person looks back and says, yeah, I understand. And then somewhere down the road, they do this, but they don't do the third part. And that doesn't meet your expectations, and then you say, oh, now I have to go back and I have to do it again, and so forth. So the responsibility is really just covering off on the task at hand. The way you can be more successful with that handoff is to both talk about the responsibility, but also talk about the accountability. So the responsibility is the what you want them to do, but the accountability is the how you will measure their success. So I'm going to use an example of chores with my kids. If I say to my kids, make your bed, that is a responsibility. And we have a shared understanding of what a made bed looks like. But if I say to my child, please clean your room, that to them could include just making the bed. Or if we've talked about the accountability, here's what a clean room looks like. No clothes on the floor. The bed is made. The clothes are put away. Your surfaces have been dusted. You don't have things floating around and flying around all over the place. If we agree to the accountability, how we will measure if that room is clean, then there are many, many sub-responsibilities that my child can handle themselves. They don't have to say, make your bed, dust the furniture, pick up your clothes. You know, I can just simply say it's time to clean your room, because we have shared an understanding of what a clean room looks like and what the accountability is there. So if you think about putting that into your support team, you want to not only share responsibilities, but you really want to share accountabilities. How will you know if this person has done a good job? Or how will you measure the success of the task at hand when the person is complete with it? The third leg of that stool of delegation is authority. And authority has everything to do with, really, in this particular situation, what level of decisions are you willing to let someone make on your behalf? For instance, I have somebody who helps me with my blog. One of the tasks is for her, one of the responsibilities is for her to stage my next blog newsletter. One of the accountabilities is that I want her to proofread it so that it's clean and clear. Her level of authority, though, I have given her complete carte blanche to find pictures that will work for my blogs. Now, let me tell you this. She's excellent at finding pictures. She reads my blog, she proofreads the blog post, and then she goes and she finds really awesome pictures, and she matches those pictures. She has total authority over it. The one time we ran amok on that is when she put in a picture that was animated, and I don't particularly like cartoons. I love cartoons, but it's not the style of my site, and I would probably not choose them for myself. I would probably use real images of real people. And so that piece, that one decision that she made, fell outside of my, you know, requirements, outside of my expectations. We talked about it, and everything was fine. But she has pretty much total authority. And in the two and a half years that she's been working with me on this particular task, there's been one snafu. Okay, so her authority is laid out in terms of she can make any decisions she wants inside the parameters that we've already agreed to, and it works out just fine. And let me tell you what, she's better at it than me. She knows how to get to the stuff. She's much more expedient at it, and I don't add any value in that particular situation. So the three keys to support are shared purpose, shared deadlines, and learning how to really delegate effectively. Those are kind of the overarching pieces of the umbrella. Now, I want to talk about your personal team. And first, I want to talk about the team that supports you in your life, because I strongly believe that if your life is not working, your business won't be working. And so I really try to work with my clients to be extra careful and cautious about not minimizing the need for home balance before we build on our business on top of it. And some of the people that may be really, really helpful for you to help your home manage itself, or you manage your home without you there, are, you know, one of the first things I did to help myself when I was working was I convinced my husband that we needed somebody to come in and help me clean. And it was one of the best decisions that I've made on behalf of my business. Because, well, I am one of those people that has a hard time really focusing when my house is kind of a wreck, and I will use cleaning as a go-to procrastination technique all the time if it's not clean. So it is, to me, a really uncomfortable and unorganized and unclean environment is noisy. And I can't focus and I can't concentrate. So one of the first things I did for my own personal support team was found somebody that I trusted that could come in and help me clean. And, you know, we work within my budget, and she doesn't clean the whole house every time. She cleans one floor one time and one floor the next, and that fits in my budget, and it works out just fine because it's not like our house is completely out of control. But I do have the sense that, you know, the floors are going to be mopped and everything's going to, you know, be level set back to equanimity, and everything will be fine. So I highly recommend, if you're a mompreneur, to get some help with housekeeping and cleaning. And I think that that should be one of the first support people on your list that you afford yourself. You may be a person who really could use the help of a professional organizer. Now, many of you know that that was my original business, with Sane Spaces. And I can tell you there's, you know, thousands of people out there who are making a living helping others get organized by systematizing their workspaces and decluttering. And it's really, really, really worthwhile to find organizers in your area who are professional. I highly recommend people who are members of National Association of Professional Organizers and or the Institute for Challenging Disorganization. If you have had lifelong struggles with disorganization, I would highly recommend that you find somebody who's either certified professional organizer, and that would have the letters CPO after their titles or their names, and or someone who is an active member in both NAPO and ICD. These are people who are specially trained, just like a lawyer would be specially trained in something, to handle different situations that can really bog down people's lives. So and you can think about an organizer as kind of an interventionist, somebody who can come in and systematize you and get your office set up and get your workspace set up and so forth. Or you can think about an organizer kind of as more of a maintenance person who can help you with systematizing and then staying with it. I know there are many organizers who also branch out and do errand running and other things like that. So that might be a second person on your personal team, which leads me to a third person. If you haven't yet, check out some task management people around your area. Task managers, I know there's a company, a national company in the U.S. called Task Rabbit, and you can have them do things that take up your time but that you don't really have to do, like stand in line or buy tickets or run and pick up your dry cleaning. One of the things that I've found and discovered in my local area is that we have a shop at home supermarket, which makes it really nice. I can go online in the morning on Monday morning and spend 20 minutes fixing my shopping list, and by Tuesday afternoon, I have my groceries delivered, anything that I've ordered right here to my doorstep, all bagged up, all shopped, and, you know, for a very small fee. I think it's like $15 or something. But by the time I get in the car, spend the gas to and from, spend the time going shopping, and usually, you know, overbuy because I see things and I buy things that I don't necessarily need, that $15 is easy to justify because I can stay on a budget and everything's fine. So I also recommend if you have that opportunity to shop at home. Other things you might consider for your personal support team are carpooling. Oh, I mean, how many people do I speak to who are moms who, I mean, for me this summer especially, I have felt like a taxi service. My kids are involved in things, especially the one who is not yet driving. You know, he's been in different camps and different programs that are day programs, but they're not, you know, full going away kind of programs, which means that I have to make a trip up and down twice a day, sometimes three times a day if he has two events in different places. So that carpooling, and I haven't had a carpool partner because everybody in his activity this summer is not from our area. And oh my gosh, it's just eaten up so much time. So, you know, if you can find a personal carpool partner or any time your kids get involved in an event, you go out there and you start meeting people and exchange phone numbers or exchange cell phones so you can text each other and get yourself, take ownership of it and get yourself on a carpool plan with some people because everybody benefits. I know sometimes it's hard when the kids are real young because they don't want to go with strangers or they may not know you, but the sooner the better on the car sharing and carpooling. Obviously, lawn and maintenance and other things around your house can easily go on your personal team. Now, if some of you have husbands and or wives who do this type of work for you, great. But these are all people that I consider your home helpers and home support team. And one of the things that my husband and I pretty regularly do is we create kind of a seasonal checklist. And we have this thing that we pretty typically do every year. There's ways that we have to get our home and property ready for winter, and there's ways that we get our home and property ready for summer. You know, putting the screens and then taking them out, or setting up the awning on the porch, or cleaning off the front porch furniture and the cushions and so forth. All those different pieces are seasonal, and so we pretty much have a recurring list that I keep in a folder, and we pull that baby out at the change of the seasons, and that helps keep us on track. But if you don't have the time in your business, or you'd rather spend the time with your kids at the baseball field or whatever, then make yourself a list of these recurring seasonal tasks or go online and print something out. It's not that difficult to find really great resources that can help save you lots of time. Okay, so those are the different people that I would consider on your personal team. You know, not the least of which would be your personal fitness routine. If you're, whatever you do to stay fit, I've been coming off a period of time where I've been really sedentary, spent a lot of time behind my computer with my business and as a coach, and it's been about, I would say, a 7-month recovery of my, you know, my life and my activity because I had become so sedentary, and I absolutely hated it. My hips were hurting, my neck was hurting, my back was hurting constantly. I felt like I had to go to the chiropractor all the time. And I'll tell you what, a regular fitness routine with weights, cardio, yoga, and, you know, just being active and hiking and doing all the things that I used to do, I've gotten myself back on track. But this has been a long period of time. So find yourself some support that can help keep you on track with your fitness. Whether you meet a partner to walk in the morning or the afternoon or the evening, or whether you join a group or a class or enroll in a dance program or anything. But it is critical to get yourself up and moving and get yourself feeling good in your physical body so that you have energy to give not only to your clients and business, but also to your family. That said, that wraps up my ideas about how to get support in your personal life. The next segment, we're going to talk about ways to get your business team up to speed and where to find support when you need it. But before we do that, let's hear from our sponsors. Okay, Dori?
Yes, absolutely. I hope you all are taking notes on everything that Sina's sharing. I have been, and I'll recap everything at the end of today's show. And I just want to say hello and thank you to our show sponsors today, Peggy Caruso and Safety First Bag. So first, let's hear from Peggy.
Hi, my name is Peggy Caruso. I am the founder of Life Coaching and Beyond. I am an executive and personal development coach, an 8-time entrepreneur, and an author of 4 books. My life coaching services are different in the way that I offer additional services that assist clients beyond a coaching level. My NLP and hypnosis background allows me to extend my services beyond career and personal development. I work extensively with children, and I assist them with ADD, ADHD, and depression, and I help them get off of their medication. My new book, Revolutionize Your Child's Life, will be released on August 4th, 2014. It is geared to assist parents by educating them on the different periods of a child's life, which helps them recognize behavioral issues. It teaches them where the problems begin and what happens in each part of those periods. I provide preventative measures to ensure the health, wealth, and welfare of their child. My mompreneur background also allows me to teach children success principles, and that's part of my book as well. I assist them on how to become a kidpreneur.
And you know what? Her books are so wonderful, and I really suggest that you reach out to her. Go to lifecoachingandbeyond.com. And Safety First Bags, which is getting ready to rebrand itself in another month. But for now, you need to travel and you need your laptop when you do. Do you really want to remove your laptop at every airport checkpoint? I know I don't, and you don't have to anymore either. Visit wordofmomradio.com/offer/ and take a look at the checkpoint-friendly laptop bags and backpacks that meet all federal TSA guidelines as checkpoint-friendly, which means that jet-setting mompreneurs and busy travelers don't need to remove their laptop at airport checkpoints. You can get a discounted price and free shipping if you go to wordofmomradio.com/offer/. And so thank you to our show sponsors today, and we are back with Sina Block and Managing Mompreneur Mayhem, and she is sharing what you need to do to be able to secure help for your home and your business. And we're going to get ready for part two of this. I'm really looking forward to everything else that Sina has to share. So listen
along.
Well,
welcome back. And I wanted to say thank you again to our sponsors. It's such a pleasure to have this show and to know that there are so many wonderful moms out there who are running their own businesses and helping each other out on Word of Mom Radio. And a special shout out to Dori, this is her brainchild. So thank you, Dori, for everything that you have done for us. And now we're going to do segment two, where we're going to talk about the 6 tips of how to really get the best people on your business teams, and then 7 places you can find support. Let's talk about the tips first. My first tip about finding help in your business is to really look at the stuff that's bumming you out and ticking you off. Specifically, look at the areas where you are struggling, where you are not making the most of your time, where you're frustrated, and where you may have shortcomings. Now, I know that's hard to believe because I do believe that you are a superhero. And, you know, I agree that it's pretty amazing to do this work and to have your own business. However, I know that you probably have areas that you are not great at and that cause you stress and trouble. And those are the exact areas where you should pay for the help from people who are better than you. I love my motley team of wonderfully talented helpful, robust, very different people who are helping me run my business. I always look for people who are better, smarter, more talented, more detailed, and capable in the areas where I struggle. There are things that I'm not great at. I know where my brilliant work is, and that's one-on-one with clients, and that's doing training and systematizing things to make things easy for people to understand. I am not a details person, although I appreciate details and I understand them. I just am not. So having me spend time on these really detailed campaigns or the back-end office stuff or all the bits and pieces really is, it's anti Cena. So I try to do the things that I'm great at and find other people to bridge the gaps where I have shortcomings. And I suggest that you do that too, and that you justify support before you think you need it, because I'm sure that you need it, okay? And that is, the thing that holds mompreneurs back most of all is not getting support early enough, support and help early enough. And then secondly, getting support from people who may not be great. So the five tips: recognize your shortcomings and what you're not good at. Really start to measure the things that you don't like and that cause you stress. Number two, find people who are better than you at doing the tasks. And search high and low and ask lots of people. And if you don't know lots of people, then find people in your area of expertise or reach out to people and ask the specific question of what you need. The more specific, the better, because people, have critical areas that they're better at. You know, I have a few different people who help me with the back end stuff in Infusionsoft. I have somebody who helps me with campaigns, and I have somebody who helps me with affiliates. So they're different skills, they're different skill levels. And still another person who helps me with launches. So find people who are better than you and justify paying for them before you think you need it. The third one is to be careful of shadow support. Shadow support are basically people that I refer to as those people who kind of show up, but they really aren't dedicated or committed to your bigger picture. They're not fully in. They're not fully engaged. They may be resentful or tired or sometimes even downright unpleasant about their presence and commitment to the job you've asked of them. So take a look around you and assess your current supporters. Are they there for you? Do they really want to support your business and the lifestyle you're building? Or do you have shadow support? Because if they're doing you a favor, or worse, if you are doing them the favor of taking care of them while employing them or making them feel needed, there's a problem with that whole philosophy and that system. If you're doing them a favor, they're really not there for you, and that can cause a huge wrench in your works to get you to a place where you don't feel like you're being supported at all. So beware of shadow support is my next idea and the way to really get out from under feeling like you're doing it all yourself. Okay, the fifth tip, the fifth idea on the getting help with your business is you really need to make sure that you're organized and that your space is working for you. You know, an organized person is generally more able to do more of what she wants because she has things together. She has it all handled. The image of the juggling mompreneur works well when systems are in place and when moms are able to rely on routine and have the tasks not completely take over everything that they do. So take the time to get organized. And, you know, we've had several shows about your space style profile, your time style profile. Come on over to sanespaces.com/TSSI, time and space style inventory, TSSI. And you can take your own style profile and understand what makes you tick and what makes you feel good in your space. What are your natural tendencies? Once you understand, you can set your space up for success once and for all. And then you will be able to build a lot more on top of that foundation. So make sure you take the time to get yourself organized and systematized. If you do anything more than two times, document it so that you can help yourself by finding someone to delegate to. And then the last tip in this list is to really understand when and where you enjoy working most. You know, I realize that I actually have a period of time in the evening where I really like to work. And I don't know whether this started when my kids were real young and I was kind of, you know, forced to work at this time, or whether the idea that the kids are in bed and asleep at 9 o'clock so I have some time back to myself made it easier. But the fact of the matter is I have an evening period of time that I really like to work. And I still don't honor that. I end up using, you know, I end up working longer during the day rather than taking some time off during the day and saying I'm going to work from 9 to 11 in addition and then, you know, take some time off during the day to do things I love. This time thing, this biorhythmic thing of how your body feels good and when you're in your groove, it's really important. When you are in flow, you can get a heck of a lot more done. And it certainly beats the 2 hours that I would sit here, you know, looking at social media or doing other things that don't contribute to my bottom line. So think about the best time for you to work, given your life, given your lifestyle, given your commitments and all the things that you want to do. And, you know, seasonally this may change. Heck, when my kids go back to school, I have a lot more time during the day than I have in the evening, so that shifts. But, you know, in the summertime, I like to enjoy the day, and I like to have some time to go garden and go outside and walk and maybe, you know, go to the pool or hang out or do things. I love to cook, so I like to do those things during the day, and I would much rather spend a couple of hours in the evening when it's dark and things are calmer and cooler. You know, I'm not a TV watcher, so I get more done at this, you know, the evening period of time. So I've learned how to honor that. I'm still not 100% set up that way, but it's a natural flow for me often. So find the best time to work. Okay, in the third segment of the show today, I promised I would share ways you and okay, in the third segment of the show today, I promised I would give you some resources and areas that you could find support just in case you are in that area of your business where you're looking and you're not being successful. And I have 7 ideas of where you can find really helpful support, both for your personal areas and your home areas, as well as mostly for your business. The first one I recommend you do is that you go local as much as you can. I have one person on my team who is local, and it's so great. We get to go out to lunch once in a while. I can call her up. We see each other at different events, and you know, we're friends and we're friendly, and we can see each other, and I really like having somebody in my local area on my team. So always check out local networking opportunities, whether that's a chamber of commerce in your local area or other kind of business association. It could be a BNI group, a business networking group. It could be there in the northeast of the U.S., there's a thing called Save It Success. There's Networking Moms. There's Believe, Inspire, Grow. There's tons of small subgroups that are around, and there could also be local groups that have to do with your areas of expertise. Local networking is something that has lost some of its appeal because a lot of people in the online world feel like they don't get the same benefit. But I have to tell you that a lot of business that I've generated has come from local people. And I wouldn't necessarily have guessed it, but there's a lot of referral opportunities that local people give you because they know you, they like you, and they trust you. So go local first. See what's available to you. It is worth paying a couple $100 for a membership locally if you can generate a couple $1,000 of business and or links and associations and referrals and networking. The second thing that I would recommend that you look into for support is to either create or get involved with a business mastermind group. Now, masterminding has become pretty popular. for entrepreneurs specifically, because so many people don't have a board of advisors or they don't have people that they can bounce ideas off of. So masterminding has become really popular, especially for people who work at home and are running their own businesses. If you don't have one locally, consider creating a mastermind where you have people who are dedicated to the success of the project. No more than six. Six is probably the top, but more than any more than three to six is probably a good number. Odd numbers are typically better, but I would cap it at six and create a regular meeting time and create some ground rules so that you guys can all work together to build business and bounce ideas off of each other. Masterminds work in the roundtable discussion, and if you have a meeting, you can do it locally, you can do it virtually, but make sure that the ground rules are set and that everybody gets the same amount of time in the hot seat as you all work through some of your business struggles. Masterminding is awesome. The third thing I would recommend you do is just take a look at online groups. For a while, a lot of stuff is going on in Facebook, but I've become more a fan of what's happening in LinkedIn now. I feel like there are more business-oriented groups on LinkedIn, and you can find areas of expertise and like-minded people in those areas and spur discussion that's more business-oriented and entrepreneurial-oriented. You'll get a lot of good tips and ideas. You can also share your blog posts and everything else in those areas. So I recommend the third idea is to find online groups or create an online group that can work as a source for you, that can support you in your business. The fourth thing that I recommend is, when all else fails, just do what you love to do. So many mompreneurs put their hobbies and fun things that they used to do on hold when they launched their businesses. And the more successful I become, the more I realize that the more time I spend doing the things I love, the more successful I become. It's kind of a strange situation, but that's the way it seems to work out. So find something you love and start doing it. Yoga. I'm a big yoga girl. Working out, running, bike riding, crafting, quilting, dancing, singing, join a choral group, do little theater in your hometown, community theater. Do something you love, and that will lead you forward to find ways to gain more support. It expands your horizons, it expands your world a little bit, and you can get some more help there. The fifth way to find support is to deliberately plan and engage in your social time. When we started this segment, or when we started this episode today, I talked about my friend who called me on Halloween as she was taking my son around trick-or-treating. You know, you need a social life, okay? Everybody needs a social life. And you can trick yourself into thinking that social media is your social life, and it simply is not. So you have to find a place where you can get in front of your friends relatively regularly, whether that means monthly or maybe quarterly, and do something social. You know, start a movie club or a book club or a wine club or, I don't know, do pedicures together or something, but get more social. I am talking to you moms who are out there in the world who are, you know, beating yourself up and feeling lonely and not having a social life. You have got to take the bull by the horns and do something about it. Invite people over. Start a gourmet club. Do something, you know, seasonal. I don't know, celebrate the phases of the moon, whatever turns you on, but go social and go real social. Go meet with people, real people, in real time and FaceTime. Okay, sixth thing, this is another way to find support, is to just get more regular and more rigorous with your own fitness. And here's why. You will meet people as you engage that can help you in your business. So when you're a regular in areas or in doing things, people trust that and can count on that. So if you want to join any kind of regular routine thing, you know, even going to the coffee shop regularly, you could meet people and you can expand your horizons. Sometimes I like to just go down to the coffee shop with my laptop and work because I like the busy environment, but I don't have to do anything. I just like the busyness of the environment. So find a way to put regular, routine, day-to-day social opportunities for yourself. The seventh one, which probably should be the first one, but I always recommend, if you're in that place where you need support, is to hire a coach. This is something that too many mompreneurs do not do for themselves. They feel, I don't know, intimidated. They don't know, they don't think that they need it. They don't justify the cost. Not exactly sure what is all at play there. I know for me, when I was first starting, I wanted a coach, but I didn't justify the cost of it. And I really didn't know what a coach, in quotes, did. So it took me a while to get warm to the idea that a coach really could help me in almost every place in my business and every way in my business. And, you know, as soon as I started hiring people to help and coach me, things started to move forward much faster. My accountability popped up and I started to get resources and references to things that I had been putting on the back burner. So that's my seventh tip. And if you want to talk about coaching, you know, the best way to coach is with somebody that you know and trust. And, you know, I'm here. If you like what I have to say and like what I teach, come on over to sanespaces.com and click on the Contact Us tab and sign up for a free discovery call. I have a consultative call that will help move you forward, whether or not you decide to go forward with coaching. It's designed that way to help you move forward. So those are all of my ideas for you to create your winning support team for both your personal life and your business life. And I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to invite you back in 2 weeks. And I would like to also extend a special thank you to Dori. The next show, we're talking about office tools and organizing tips for your office. It's back to school. It's always back to school time. It's back to office time and getting the right tools in your office to do the job. So I am hopeful that this session helped and served you, and I hope to see you soon at the next show. Bye-bye for now.
Well, thanks, Sina. And, you know, for everybody just tuning in, you're here on Word of Mom Radio. We've been talking with Sina Block about securing help for your home and your business. And I just want to kind of bullet point over what she was sharing. We're going to end a little bit early. Her three golden rules are: make sure you communicate your purpose, the why you do your biz. Your support team needs to be really clear on this. Your deadlines, that people need to share your deadlines, and it's critical that they're clearly understood, and learn how to effectively delegate. And you can go to sanespaces.com and enter search into the blog search bar, and that way you will find all kinds of information that Sina has to share on that. She talked about the three-legged prong for delegating effectively: responsibility, accountability, and authority. Responsibility being clear on what you want your support staff to do, the accountability on how you're going to measure their results and that they are doing what they have to do and staying on task, and the authority that they have, what they can and cannot do with those tasks they're responsible for. And she shared, you know, information on getting that home support, you know, whether it's carpooling and working with other moms and everything else, because we're all in that same place. And then when we came back, she talked about recognizing your shortcomings, finding the people who are better at doing what needs to be done than you are, and delegating that responsibility to them. Be careful of that shadow support, those people who show up but don't really help. Being organized, and that your workspace works and flows with what you do, and to know your own biorhythms. And work when you work at your best. I mean, for me, I'm an early morning person. I get up early. I get a lot of stuff done. And after the show is done at 2 o'clock, between this show and all the other shows on Word of Mom Radio, I usually take a little breather and then come back a little later. And then the way she was talking about finding support: go local as much as you can. Create or get involved with a mastermind group. Look for some online groups to spur discussions, and if they're not there, create one. When all else fails, do what you love to do and do it. Deliberately plan and engage in your social time and hiring a coach. And again, I suggest that you go visit Sina at sanespaces.com. Take advantage of that discovery call and, you know, spend some time with her. She's got so much that she has to share. And tomorrow we'll be back here on Word of Mom Radio with Productive Play with Debbie and Alyssa, and we're going to be talking about how important physical activity is for your preschooler. And Thursday on the Mompreneur Model, I may be shifting my show. I'm not quite sure because, you know, my daughter is getting ready to start her life adventure, and I'm going to spend the last day with her before dropping her off at the airport. And that's the joy of being a mompreneur, getting to set our own hours. So for all of you tuning in here to Word of Mom Radio, we so appreciate you sharing your time with us, whether you're here with us live or live on in archive. And share us with your friends. Let people know that we're out here. And until tomorrow, this is Dori DiCarlo saying thanks so much for tuning in and go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.